I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, good people, and happy Monday. Welcome to Super Soul Sit Down, the after show for Oprah's podcast, Super Soul Conversations. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and always by my side is the incredible Haley J. How you doing today, girl?
I'm good, girl. I'm virtually always by your side. Hanging in there. We made it to another Monday, and gotta be grateful for another day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Always, you know, definitely grateful and sitting in all that gratitude. Today was a very interesting show. It was pretty cute. It was a conversation with Oprah and Jane Fonda and her daughter, Mary Williams, and their unique relationship and how that came about, which was so beautiful and so different. And I'm just excited to talk about that today. So what did you think about the podcast overall?
Well, to be honest, I know Jane Fonda is an icon, but personally, I didn't pay super close attention to her and her career. So I saw her a little bit on Grace and Frankie, and I got to know her more throughout obviously iconic movies she's been in, but I didn't even know she had a daughter. And just hearing how she sounds like such an amazing woman was really inspiring. And I was really happy to see that that's who her true character is, someone that just cares about other people at the end of the day. And I loved that Mary was able to get out of what could have been a very hard life.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. So if you guys didn't listen to the podcast, basically Jane Fonda, I hate to say the word rescued. I mean, it's kind of something that we all wish could happen or that we could go through, you know, when we're experiencing hardship after hardship, or our life seems challenging, or we come from a background that's, you know, not really serving a catapult into an amazing career or something that looks like an amazing life. For someone to be receptive enough and to have their heart turned enough towards God to hear, like, help that person, you know, get that person. I feel like Jane Fonda definitely made that effort in just seeing the inner light of who Mary was. And even though she technically kind of had a family, she was just kind of not necessarily the black sheep, but yeah, I think she did say that, like, the black sheep, kind of just figuring her way out, kind of pushed off to the side. And it was nice to see that whatever Jane saw in her, she saw enough to say, hey, come live with me. Like, I just feel like my surroundings can offer you a better life. And I think that that's kind of the whole purpose of, sure, being rich and famous and talented and all that is cool, but to be able to use your spoils to help others was just, I really appreciated that a lot.
Absolutely. And I do want to get into Mary's family life a little bit. Her dad was a huge part of the Black Panthers. And although she did feel like him being a big drinker and, you know, troubles with her dad being in and out of jail, and then her mother being really cold to her and not necessarily showing her love, of course, those were huge struggles to grow up with. But she also said, being from a family where the Black Panthers were such a staple in her life, that it made her feel proud of being who she was ultimately, and that she had that sense of pride throughout her. So I really do believe a lot of that is what made her fight for a better life, because she knew she was capable of it. And then we saw, unfortunately, when she went to camp and then she came back and tried to pursue an audition and unfortunately was raped at that audition, that her light was dimmed and she kind of did settle into, maybe this is my fate, maybe I can't break free from this. But I was so happy to see that she did overcome that, because it's such a terrible thing when we see someone on the up and up and then something happens where it seems to be the universe almost telling you, no, you can't get out of this and we're going to trap you. But she pushed through that ultimate fight.
Yeah, and it's like all of this stuff, life, auditioning, everything is already hard enough. Her life was already hard enough, let alone having someone come in and violate like that. It's very challenging and it's super sad, because, I mean, I feel like I hear these stories all the time, and, you know, sometimes it's rape, or sometimes it's an extreme loss, or sometimes it is a defeat that you can't seem to get over. So there's all these things that kind of take us out the game, and what I love most about this podcast is people need people. We need each other. We probably have so many more opportunities to identify when someone could use something from us or where we have something to give. And, you know, maybe sometimes we think twice about it because of our own wounding, or we think we don't have enough or anything of that nature. But just to be able to kind of see where you can fill in the gaps for others, I truly believed in this essence kind of saved Mary Williams' life. Like, when someone's spiraling, just to have someone say, I see you, and to say that I see you enough that I believe in what you have to offer, regardless of where you are right now, like, that's amazing. That's really incredible. I think this is a really good story about being seen. Even though she felt damaged, broken, very imperfect, very much of an outcast, to still be seen and to be loved for that and taken care of. Like, I'm really, really glad that Jane's big heart stepped up to the plate. I did see some stuff, obviously, with all the Black Lives Matter stuff going on, of just Jane Fonda, like, back in the day, she was so about that life, protesting and going ham.
Oh, that seems absolutely something that she would do. And I'm so happy to know that she's on the right side of things, we'll say that. But speaking of being seen, aside from just Jane, the kids at camp loved her. And she, Mary herself, said it was the first time she felt seen. So to be sort of a broken child, not really knowing what you can do in life, and then to go to this camp, to be loved, to have friends, to be known as this outgoing spirit, and to be good, to go to auditions, and to have Jane see not only her talent, but her heart. And it speaks to Jane also having a camp for kids, because kids are a lot of work. So to really put in energy to provide a camp like this for kids to see their potential, I think is a really amazing thing too. And again, I'm just so happy that Mary was even accepting, because I think sometimes in situations like this too, we can see the child not necessarily wanting to go, not wanting to leave their family, or just feeling like they wouldn't fit in. And Mary always said she felt so welcome at Jane's. And she knew that Jane was famous. She knew she was fancy, but the relationship she had with her never felt less than. And I love that Jane made her feel so comfortable.
That's amazing. I think that space that Jane created, but also going back to the comment you shared about how she felt comfortable in her own skin because she was raised that way, it's a real testament to being able to see how different people are affected differently depending on the way they were raised. There are some people, you know, who are Black who literally bleach their skin, literally. There are people, you know, of other races who, you know, want to be darker. We want to change things about ourselves, or we're constantly looking around at the people around us and wishing our hair was longer or we had more. It's always some kind of comparison thing that is almost opposite to who you are if you weren't raised in a sense of identity for who you were. So I love how she spoke about the way the Black Panthers were about love, identity, unity, community, all of these things, because it can be very misconstrued. Mm-hmm. You can see the Black Panthers, they look militant, you know, they got their berets and the ARs and their fists and their gloves, and it's just da 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 da. But it really, to me, it is about radical and fierce self-love. And that is one of the most important things that you could ever do for children and for yourself. And I just definitely believe that her upbringing, even though bad things happened to her, I believe that upbringing,
the message came through.
Yeah, in that identity is what put her in alignment to even be seen, recognized, and, you know, taken in by Jane. There's something in that to me when I was seeing that.
And this is very much in current times with education and learning for me personally about Black Panthers and what they stood for. But even Mary says, just like you were saying, that it was never about supremacy of Black over white or whoever over anyone. It was just, we were confident with who we were. It wasn't to hate white people. It wasn't to put anyone beneath us. It was just to be strong in our own skin. And she said, how beautiful would it be if people actually knew the real message behind it. And just like you said, things can be so misconstrued these days, and people don't question, they just see something, they believe it, and suddenly years go by and everyone has a wrong, completely wrong idea about something. So I was just thinking, how telling is that? And I don't know exactly when this podcast was recorded initially, but I just, you know, everything kind of sad, but also very ironic how poignant everything still is in today's current time. And also you were talking about comparing, and Mary did say going to camp was one of the first times that she realized that she maybe didn't have what other kids had, because she compared, you know, their shoes or the kind of clothes they had. And I think we all can remember that feeling, whether we were on the side that had more or the side that had less. For me, I was comparing the lunches that my friends had, where I always thought their food was better. Of course, I would turn it into food, but you know what I mean? Like, we remember those days and you start to kind of notice what's around you and who might have something better. And it's hard not to feel less than, especially as a young child.
Yeah, that whole thing. When did you know you were poor? And I definitely, so let me not exaggerate. I didn't grow up poor. That would be such a disservice to my parents and everything. Like, we weren't poor, but I do remember, you know, so we grew up on military bases. I grew up in the, you know, so it was just a different lifestyle. We always had what we needed, but coming to California was different. And I just remember my dad getting out of the military. And again, we weren't poor and I was always working. I've been working since I was 14. So I always had my little money, but I'll never forget going to one of my friend's house. We were like 16 and I lived in a really very upscale neighborhood, but you know, there were apartments on one side and there's like all the homes in the hills. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course I made friends at school and I'll just never forget, like, this girl was like 16, 17 and we were going to go out somewhere. And I just had like a bunch of change is still money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew it was going to cost a certain amount to get into the club or whatever it was. We had to be like, we were kids. It was some underage thing. And then her dad was just, we went over there and he's just like, do you need money? Do you guys need money? And he had all this money in his hand. I'm like,
you're like, huh?
Who gives out money? You don't even know me like that. And you want to literally hand me cash so I can go have a good time with your daughter. Like, you know, she got a drop top Mustang for her birthday. She got her boobs done. Like, all of these things. That was the first time where I was like, whoa. Like, California goes all out. Yeah. So she was like around 17. So wow. She was really sweet. They weren't pretentious. Her family was amazing. But that was it was kind of like, oh, people are really out here doing the most. This isn't just TV. Like, this is real life. I was like, oh, am I poor?
you're like, wait, huh? One thing that, and how kind of toxic can that be? Thankfully, we're at the point now to, I mean, it's still hard with comparison culture, but thankfully I think we're at a point where we can also realize how fortunate we are. But yeah, it's very easy to suddenly not like your life when you see someone else having all these things. But again, we've learned now that money doesn't equal happiness. So I think we're elevated in that sense. But in this time of having hard conversations with our parents and family members about a lot of the issues going on, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's about who we're voting for, they can be dicey topics. And I love that Mary said when they had conversations at the table at Jane's house, that was one of the first times that she realized a family could disagree and you weren't going to get hit for it. And that really stuck out to me. Yeah. Where she could,
it's like the simple thing,
without a fear of being hurt. Like, that's not to be taken lightly, you know?
No, I love it. And I love it in the beauty of the juxtaposition of growing up white and growing up Black. Again, I don't like to polarize. It's not to say there are similarities and there has its differences, but you just kind of see some of the family dynamics where it's like, you know, yes, she was taught to be like Black and proud. But then at the same time to go into, you know, a family of a different color and just be like, oh, now my voice can be heard in a certain way and this and that. I just definitely think the opposite lifestyles, the opposite in how they grew up and their opposite, everything that they have, Jane versus Mary, really is such a beautiful testament to the opportunities, like you said, that we have now to kind of create the space for fascinating conversation and learning experiences between cultures, between people, between family. I believe Mary made Jane stronger just to see like, hey, this would have took me out. I would have fallen on the floor and you've survived 8 years and you're still going and you're still glowing and this and that, like, wow, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah, Jane even acknowledged that she felt like she learned more than Mary learned from her in the end. And I thought that was a really, really cool and honest perspective. And I do want to get into the hardships, unfortunately, that, Mary disconnected a lot with her family when she first started living with Jane. And her sister, unfortunately, got hooked on drugs. She was a prostitute and she ended up being stabbed. And this is a horrible story, but she goes into detail of not only was she stabbed, but there was a crowd encouraging it. And that sickened me to not only lose a sibling in that way, but to know that people were standing there and cheering for someone's death. It's just like, I really can't wrap my head around it. But Mary comments that could have been her, and she could have been in the same situation. And it's just another hardship we see her go through. And I think that she's such an incredibly strong person, where she's the type that she confronts her fears. Even, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I know saying that meeting her mother face to face was her biggest fear, so she did it. And working in Antarctica because she hated the cold, so she put herself in that place to face fears. And I just think that mentality is what got her to where she is.
Yeah, I have to agree 100%, and it's something that we can all learn from. Terrible things happen in life. My God, I don't wish that on anybody's sister or family or anything. I couldn't dream of something so insane and brutal happening to anybody that I know. So unfortunately it happened. So to be able to have the fortitude to move on from something like that, it's astounding. How do you not want to be around someone who can pick themselves up, keep going and keep shining after something like that? And I think that's the type of people we're all encouraged to be. Not that we, to definitely go through our griefs and our traumas and things like that, but to also always show up for ourselves and as much as we can after we do for ourselves for other people, because you never know what that could reciprocate. If she would have fell out and let herself disappear or fall off and didn't even show up to camp or didn't even keep showing up, she would have been out the game and missed her blessing. So even though tragedy happens, she's such a testament to keeping it going. And I don't mean keep it moving, like deal with grief, but keep going. Like, this is such a story of fortitude, and that fortitude alone literally blessed her life and someone else's. So there's definitely something to be said about strength and going on.
And I like how you put that. She could have missed out on her blessings. I actually really like that, where you can't hold back because you're going to miss out on literally a gift that's wrapped for you. You got to open it. You got to see what it is. And this is where Jane really helped her too, because Mary almost didn't come back to camp and she let her grades drop. But Jane said, let's get your grades up. You're going to come live with me. Let's do this. And I think that took a lot of strength, because even though Mary knew Jane offered her a better opportunity, that's still hard to leave a life that you know and you're familiar with. And it could be really devastating to potentially, feel like your family's betraying you, or you're betraying your family in a way. And we didn't get too much detail into that, but do you think that the loss of her sister is what sparked her wanting to then reach out to her other siblings and her mom?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Something like that definitely wakes up the, oh my God, the life is short. I don't want to be too caught up in my own thing. I want to be present as possible. I think it definitely brings a presence to your function. So I'm really glad she did that, because at the end of the day, family's family, even when it's not great or you feel overlooked, there's still a grounding and a rooting there in that, that I don't believe you can get anywhere else. You can, don't get me wrong, because, all of us people who are transplants to LA, you find family and friends and all of these things, but there's still nothing like mom, dad, sister, brother, whoever you have available that you just grew up with, that shaped you, molded you, knows who you are at the core. So I definitely think that was that. I wanted to share something else that was very powerful. I think this was in the top of the podcast, where Oprah was talking about she learned, you know, it was kind of like a, this is, I don't know if this is a Black household thing, but were y'all told like basically children should be seen and not heard? It was like, get out the room when grown folks are talking, or if you interrupt an adult conversation, it was like World War III. Like, are you interrupting? I'm talking to my friend.
I don't know. I have a horrible memory anyways. I don't remember if I was actually told that, but I definitely heard the phrase and I remember hearing it, but I don't know if it was actually said to me as a kid, but yeah. You have been hearing it.
Yeah, no, it's such a thing. So that kind of made me laugh a little bit because I was like, oh, just, that's just one of those things. And then, but I also like how she added, you know, that she didn't feel seen, of course, with all the kids that they had in the house, but then also becoming adolescent and not feeling like she was seen at all, because yeah, as a young woman, when you do get to a certain age, you begin to look like a piece of meat. You're like preyed on by men. I felt that stood out to me because I definitely felt that way. The world wanted me to grow up a lot faster than I was ready. And I remember, you know, especially because I'm tall, I remember when I started to notice the way men would look at me, and it would gross me out. It would make me uncomfortable. It would make me afraid. I didn't know if they wanted to like kidnap me or like all of it. Now that I look back, all of it was just so inappropriate. Like to be 13 and standing at a bus stop, like I can't wear shorts in peace.
Oh,
like, do you know what I'm saying? It's really bad. And now that I'm older and I look back, there have been a lot of issues of feeling extremely uncomfortable because some men can be extremely predatory and thirsty and look at women as such objects. Like, you damn near forget these are children. So me and my dad used to get in a lot of, you know, spats with each other because he felt like what I was wearing was quote unquote too revealing. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a tank top. Like, it got a little bit of a back out, but I'm going to school and my friends are wearing it, shorts, da-da-da. But it's the guys. And then I live on a military base. So it's like, yeah, you do have to be careful. And it really does take away the innocence because you go from being like a little girl, the princess, and being open and free to thinking about, oh, don't sit on their lap. Oh, what you're doing now is flirting. Oh, like it just starts to get weird and you feel like you got to turn in somewhere and you get small. So I definitely really resonated with the idea that she shared about not feeling seen because she was amongst tons of children or, you know, a lot of siblings, and then growing up and still not having that opportunity because now it's this weird thing that you got to do just to maneuver.
And how backwards is that? I think majority of men, I mean, I would hope that they know that the catcalling and things like that are not cool, but I think some of them in their minds, so I don't know if I want to say majority, but a lot of them in their minds will think, oh, I'm complimenting her, she likes this. And little do they know, it's actually, we don't feel better because of it. It actually makes us feel less than, because you grow up and hopefully you're told that you've got a beautiful mind and you're strong and you can do all these things. And then if suddenly people are just looking at you for your body or your appearance, then if you do question, do I not possess anything else? And that's why you hear some of like these supermodels, and I think even Megan Fox said something about this, where sometimes it does suck always being portrayed as like the beautiful girl because people start to only see you as that way. And I think from the outside, you could say, oh, poor you, you're too gorgeous. But that is a challenge for people because society, we all want to be gorgeous, but you've got to have a soft spot for people that are only treated by their looks. So it's not fair to them. And even Oprah in past podcasts has said that she was so fortunate she didn't technically grow up the cutest child, in her words, because that's where she developed that inner strength. So it is a very interesting topic, and I think people need to be a lot more sensitive towards others if they feel like their power is being taken away because they're so objectified.
Yeah, no, it's a huge thing and it's a huge topic. And you know, of course, we like to preface it isn't all men, so definitely don't want to make anyone feel strange, but sometimes it does get really uncomfortable, you know, so it's just something to consider. I just totally resonated with that. So, I mean, this was really good. It was so good to just kind of see this beautiful unity of the heart mind, spirit, energy. What they had was such a beautiful share for this. So I'm so glad we got a chance to talk about it. Before we get out of here, we definitely got to dive into our news and gossip and the Super Soul Poll, which you can catch every Sunday on Haley's Instagram. So you can join in. We can see how y'all are feeling. So why don't you share that, girl?
Well, we broke a record this Monday because for the first time, I think this is the first time we've ever had 100% of people agree. And this is a funny thing because we're all striving for perfection, it seems. But the poll question of this week was the quote, "We are not meant to be perfect. We are meant to be whole." And the question was, do you agree with this statement? 100% of people said yes. So then I have to ask, why are we still chasing perfection? If 100 of us agree, that's not what we're meant to do. And had a few responses, and I think my ultimate answer would be when you feel whole, which is 100% a work in progress, but when you feel whole, that's when you're perfect. Doesn't mean you're doing everything right, but it means that every part of you feels connected to who you are. What did you think?
Girl, you better preach, Haley.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it with that. And in addition to that, I definitely feel like most of us are walking around with unconscious programming, and it's the not feeling whole and the discomfort of those moments in areas that allow us to address those moments. And I think the more we unlearn and unlearn old things and learn more about ourselves, we have an opportunity to connect with wholeness often. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, we don't feel whole all the time. And I think the times that we don't, it's just an opportunity to realize where our unconscious thoughts and behaviors lie and to eradicate them so we can continue, you know, the wholeness journey. We go through a lot as humans.
Well, I love that you said that, because just this morning I was thinking, imagine what it would be like if we updated our mental programming as much as we updated our phones. You know, we're so focused on that. Woo! But what about challenging our everyday lessons and our thoughts and evolving? Like, let's update that before we're so worried about the next app.
Yeah. I mean, with that being said, like, seriously, and I always see little memes like that, like, oh, if you need to turn off your phone or to do this, everything needs a recharge and upgrade or reboot. We absolutely need that. And, you know,
and to not feel guilty for it either.
No, because it just needs to be done. We're always moving. We're always changing, growing, and evolving. So to recalibrate, just like everything else, is totally fine. It doesn't mean you're not whole or you don't have it together or you're this or that. We also have to stop with the obsessive need to, like, fix something about ourselves. Just deal with the moment. Like, y'all are good. And when you're not, you know you're not. And you can address it. And it's really that simple. But
I know we complicate things. We really do. Something that might help other people too is our media was Mary has a memoir, and it's all about her story, her upbringing, being adopted by Jane, and beautiful story. I haven't read it, but just from what I've heard from her in the podcast, I can only imagine it's going to be even more detailed of what we got a little taste of. So I did link that on Amazon. You guys, hopefully we're still being quarantined and safe. So if you need something to read, please check that one out.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I actually would love to check that out. And, you know, we have a couple minutes left. So, of course, we've got our Own Your Soul special segment where we take things that we've heard or seen in the week or from this podcast and implement it in our own lives to grow and evolve. Did you have something on your mind prepared for this week?
I do have something. I've been in this place where I'm going back and forth with what feels right, whether, you know, quarantine, see one person, don't see one person, say this, don't say this. And to be honest, each day is presenting me with new challenges. But what I even pulled this in my Oracle card deck the other night, but I have been getting this message of just compassion for other people, because just like me, I think we're all trying to do what just feels right for us. And even if you want to get angry at people, which in this time can be really hard to not be frustrated by some people's choices, but I think it's to just try and hold, just release that tension, because you can't control other people. And, you know, you might change your mind on what you thought was right next week anyway. So it's just like, let's give each other all a little bit more grace as we go, because I don't have the answers, but I know for a fact we don't need more hate. So that's what I'm working on.
That part. And I'm on the same page with you, girl. Compassion. I think the same way. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep myself neutral and not getting upset by just allowing people to be who they are. I understand we all have different experiences. And if these are where your experiences led you to believe, I really don't have time or energy to pour into being upset about that. So I love that. For me this week, girl, is vulnerability.
Speak on that.
I didn't.
What do you mean?
I did an interview with somebody on vulnerability, and I can just see it keeps popping up for my life. And I think, you know, in people that I quote unquote trust or know more, like there's people that know sides of me. They're like, I've had friends tell me like, oh, I wish other people could see this side of you. And I'm like, you know, I'm at home, it's different, blah, blah, blah. And I'm still always true to myself. But I also think that there's a layer, you know, I can be guarded for protection. And it's something that I've been cognizant of, but working on. But I really want to just balls to the wall and just be who I am and be okay with not being liked, not being worried if I don't get, you know, just not being so conscious of everything. Cause you know, being in the public, I was in like Hollywood, so to speak, pretty young. I was still in my formative years, this, that, and the other. So you're constantly thinking, am I doing this right? Do I look right? Am I look for the role? Did I get this? Oh, judging, my sister did pageants, did it, like judging, yeah. Or judged galore. So I just don't want to allow any of that to keep me small, because I realize that the best moments in my life are going to come from me being vulnerable, saying how I feel when I feel it, and trusting my heart and my existence just in a new and full way. So that's what I'm.
I love that. And if I can add to that for you, I feel like you have to remember how many people do look up to you. So when you're that vulnerable and your honest self, someone somewhere is feeling the exact same way. So what could be scary to you could be like, oh my God, I'm so happy she said that to someone else.
No, it's so true, girl. So it's that responsibility. It's the same vulnerability Jane shared and letting to see someone and say, I want to invite you to my home can be scary as well. You don't want them to think, oh, do they think I'm giving me, trying to give a handout, or I'm better, or I'm this, yeah, and that. It takes a vulnerability. So there's all these ways where we can be vulnerable, and I'm seeing them more, and I want to show up because, yeah, what if, like you said, I could be blessing someone's life by just showing up, you know?
And just to cap it off with, this never would have happened for Jane and Mary if they both didn't embrace each other as people from the start and give each other a fair shot, whether Mary wanted to assume she could have been a snobby white rich lady, whether Jane wanted to assume that she could be a mad, unfortunate black child. You know, both of them just didn't have any stereotype, and they just looked at each other's people. And I think we could all learn that from that lesson.
Girl, vulnerability and compassion. We in there.
Always. This is a good one.
Yeah, this was really good. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You know, of course, you can tune in every Monday, same time, same place on AfterBuzz TV, 6:10 p.m. PST. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander, and that's J-A-I-M-I.
And you can find me Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to look out for the poll question of the week every Sunday morning at HeyJ_, that's HAYJ_. We will see you guys next Monday.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.